Oh, hey folks, it's your boy, TPG, the big guy, and we are back for episode 5 of ACAD Armchair Arm Draggers, and I got my PIC, the wrestling aficionado himself, Mr. Moneymaker. How we doing tonight?
What's up, man? What's going on? I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to reviewing this pay-per-view with you tonight.
All right, and listen, folks, we are going to jump right into this because we have an 11-match show to cover. So we are getting into WrestleMania 17. We are taking you back to April 1st, 2001.
Just days after WWE bought
WCW.
I'm kind of sad that not more was done with the purchase of WCW in this. You just bought it 6 days beforehand, but there was definitely an opportunity for that to be important, and we'll get into that when we get there.
So. Oh yeah, for sure. So we're going to jump right in because this is going to be jam-packed. A lot of matches happening here. And our very first match was Y2J, Mr. Chris Jericho himself, versus William Regal, who was the commissioner at the time, for the Intercontinental title.
Now, before you really get into the match, I just want to point one thing out. We had Paul Heyman on the announce table here because Jerry Lawler was having some issues. And I really loved Paul Heyman as the color commentator here. Him and JR, I thought, were overall for the whole show, and I'll give you that right now. I thought they were an amazing pair, and I thought they worked well off each other the whole show.
I always liked Heyman as an announcer as well. So this match started fast. I really thought that they really pushed the pedal to the metal here in this first match as it started. The first big spot was they come into the ring and Y2J is trying to keep it fast paced, and William Regal hits a quick roll, rolls out of the ring because Jericho is just trying to push the match pace. So Regal slows it down. He rolls out of the ring.
Regal was looking a little heavy set in this one.
Oh yeah. Well, I've always loved Regal. He has always played a pivotal part in a lot of things.
And Regal's a great technical wrestler.
Yes.
And some of the spots in this, Jericho's left arm was really the story of this match.
Yeah. So after Regal rolls out of the ring, Y2J hits a cross body over the top rope. And that is basically how this match was, the very quick pace, because after he hits the flying cross body over the top, Regal throws Y2J into the ring post twice on that shoulder. So he's working that shoulder early already in this match.
No, you're good, man. Yeah, I know. That's like I was saying. Chris Jericho's left arm, that's going to play a pivotal part in this, where you're going to see. That's really what Regal was trying to get over is, he's working that left arm, trying to get to the Regal stretch. And, just those shots into the corner looked brutal.
Yeah, and he continued to work. The match pace slowed down a little bit. Regal took control, was working the shoulder, like Moneymaker said, he's trying to get that shoulder to the point where he hits that Regal stretch and it's over automatically. There was a point, he's working the shoulder and Y2J is trying to come back and he tries to hit the lion's saw, but Regal blocks it. As Y2J is down, Regal goes over and he takes off the pad from the turnbuckle. Now,
Where was the ref when he was doing this?
I know. That's exactly what I have down here. I'm like, where'd the ref go? He just disappeared. But, I mean, in a lot of old WWE, this happened a lot.
Yeah.
Like, where it was just like, you know, because the pad was basically nothing. It wasn't like you see today where these five-pound padding on the posts
right.
for each rope. No, this was just a little thing that had as thin as a shoelace on the back of it, and you just pulled it and pulled it off. You know what I mean? So, but he does get – he works that off. He gets it off. So Regal tosses Y2J shoulder first twice into the open
the left arm, still the story of the match.
Still working it. So then, you know, Y2J tries to come back. He hits a missile drop kick. But he misses the splash into the corner. That was
right. Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, here we go. So, you know, they were going back and forth for a minute. And then the next big spot I have is the giant double underhook off the top rope. I thought that was a
dope spot. That really was.
You know, for Regal being an older, even at this time, he was still older. You know, I'm not saying he was old. He was older even this time. And he's still able to help sell the moves that were going off of here. So, you know, Jericho's starting to take control. I wrote Y2J down because technically that was what he was called at this time point.
He was 33, Regal was.
At that time. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So still, like I said, you know, he's getting up there in age, you know, 33 for a wrestler. Well, not nowadays, they don't take as many hard bumps. So 33 is young. Back then, it was older.
You're right.
So Jericho takes control, and he slams Regal's head into the open turnbuckle. And then he hits the boondog. I can't even talk.
The bulldog.
into the lion solve, which, man, I missed that move.
And that was the finish of the match.
That was the finish of the match. And Y2J win, gets the W. I thought this was a really good match to start the show.
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a good pace for the start of the match. But to me, that finish just came out of nowhere. Like, it felt like it was building. Like, I was really jazzed for the match, having a lot of fun watching this. And then all of a sudden, it just ended. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, I felt like we were about to hit where the peak, like, could have been, you know. You know, there at the end, there was nothing that really, like, Jericho's arm was the story of the match, as I said earlier. And I felt like if the Regal stretch was being put on or something was being done to the left arm, kind of making Regal look a little bit stronger there, and then Jericho get the pin off of it or somehow reverse it. This finish just—it wasn't for me. I was not very impressed with it.
I enjoyed the finish, even though, like you said, it was quick. It was out of nowhere. You know, I think that this match was a good way to open the show, and it was a shock with how it ended, because you figure you were going to see the Walls of Jericho.
Exactly.
Or you were going to see the Regal stretch, but it was the Lion Solve. So, but he did that a lot. He used that as a finisher a lot in the 2000s.
You're right. So, and I did not remember that. So, like I said, it was to me, you know, seeing it for that moment and for that match, it's still just that wasn't a fan of the Lion Solve.
Yeah. I enjoyed this match, and I gave this match a 3-arm dragger.
2 for me.
Okay. So then the next matchup, which I don't know, we had the Right to Censor versus, and this was a 3-on-3 match, So it was a right to censor and Taz in the APA. Oh man, did I miss how Bradshaw and Farouk looked back then. Oh my God, they looked so good.
And their music, as soon as you heard that music, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Business is about to get real.
Right. Kind of like
Road Warriors.
Yeah, yeah, kind of like
very
the Road Warriors.
Similar, you'd hear that Road Warriors. Oh my God, someone's about to get their ass beat.
I could have done without Taz in this match. Just going to say.
Taz looked like shit.
Yeah. So, but APA, and they basically, you know, carried the match because the Right to Censor just, Val Venus was getting in on Taz early. Like as soon as the match started, he just started pummeling Taz.
And there was a spot at the very beginning when they went to whip Taz off the ropes, and you just saw Taz's feet stumble across.
Right? Yep, it was a botch, and then it's like you wonder why WWE, when he made the jump, never pushed him. That this was part of the prime example.
Yep.
Even when he throws Val Venus out of the ring after this. Okay, and this is when the match kind of like. I don't know what happened here, but even when he did that, it looked painful. Like, I'm like, oh my God, he can't even throw somebody out of the ring. Like, I'm not a wrestler. I never been in the ring. I'm just saying, if I'm going to throw somebody out of the ring, I think I can make it look better than Taz did right here when he threw Val Venus out of the ring. I'm just saying.
And there was when the APA gets in there.
Oh yeah,
there's some meat slapping happening in this match.
Oh, big meat slaps. So we had Taz suplex the Bull. Again, it did not look very good. The suplex did not look good. So the Bull gets a big boot, right? A big size.
Bull Buchanan for people who are not familiar with the Bull.
Sorry. Yes, Bull Buchanan. Sorry. Probably that size. I don't know, 14, 15. I'm sure it was up there somewhere. Big boot right to his face. Puts him down. What else we got here? And then my next line is Taz with the no sell.
Yeah. Yeah. Which it's like, how is he, like, he was the last person that should be no selling in this match.
Exactly. Like, I'm like, oh my God, dude, you're like 5'2". Stop it. Like,
he'll choke your ass out.
He got to get up. He got to climb that mountain first.
All kneecapping someone.
Well, yeah, that's true too. You know, I do got that bad knee. But anyway, we go. Bradshaw gets in the ring and he's cleaning house, baby. I'm like, let's go. I'm loving it right now. When Bradshaw gets in, he gets, you know, they get a nice little team up there. With a double slam by the APA, so Farouk and Bradshaw working together. This was a quick match.
Yeah, another real quick finish.
The big suplex off the top rope by APA. But it was funny because after they hit this big suplex, but the APA gets a nice double team suplex off the top rope, which looked pretty cool at that. You know, that was a pretty cool spot. They double powerbomb Bradshaw. Like, out of nowhere, Bradshaw's getting a double powerbomb, like a tag team powerbomb. I'm like, wait a minute, where did this come from? Before I get to this end, do you have anything to add there?
They were throwing some real
meat slaps. You could hear the meat slaps.
Yeah.
And then you get the big clothesline from hell from Bradshaw and the Godfather. And the APA gets the pin. Unfortunately, I did not rate this match very high because of Taz. It was very hard to watch at the beginning.
And the whole match was hard to watch.
Yes, but, you know, I was pumped up a little bit about the APA and then Bradshaw in, just cleaning the house. I gave it a one arm drag.
Me too, arm drag.
All right. So then we get into... The Lull is what I'm going to call it.
Oh, I love this match.
Oh, my God. Whew. All right, so the next match is a hardcore championship match, which I will state I missed the hardcore championship.
I agree. I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on the hardcore championship because, like you just said, this match was a wall. This was all the hardcore matches.
I guess so.
But, the one thing for me when this match started, the first note I had, Raven does not fit in this match.
And he does not fit because you had Raven, Kane, and The Big Show for the hardcore championship.
Now, don't get me wrong. I think Raven could have been, world champion at one point. I felt he had a gimmick that kind of fit, like, that outsider mold champion.
Right.
But I don't think WWE knew what to do with him at all.
Which is a theme with a lot of people. We can even say till current day WWE.
Oh, most certainly.
They do not know how to book some talent. We'll get into that another show where we just go off. We'll have to have a show where we just sound off on whatever we want. So the match starts with Raven and Kane. And I don't know where this plastic sign comes from, but Raven starts hitting the Big Show with a plastic sign. Not a hard plastic sign. I mean, like,
that was little, not plastic. That was metal.
It was plastic.
I know that was metal.
It was plastic. It broke like it was plastic. It didn't bend. It was plastic.
Keep going.
He hits him with the plastic sign, and then Kane tosses Raven out of the ring into the Big Show, who's coming down. Coming down the ramp, and that's when the match kind of will lose you if you weren't following it, because this just went insane. Moneymaker's doing some research right now.
Yeah, you keep going. No, because that's a metal sign, I'm telling you.
It's plastic. We're derailing the whole show right now over a plastic sign.
It's not a plastic sign. It's a metal sign. You shut your mouth and keep talking.
So after Kane throws Raven out into
that
the arms.
That match is 13 minutes long.
I know, God. Right? After he throws him into the Big Show's waiting arms, they start fighting into the crowd. And they're not really fighting, so I shouldn't say that. They start walking through the crowd, and the cameras are just kind of like following them. And they're trying to get to the spots, as we'll call it. I don't know if WWF or WWE, whatever they were in 01, had the X marks the spot type thing. So we're going through, and Kane throws Big Show into the wall, which kind of is just like Big Show.
Yes, it was a plastic. But you were wrong. You said he hit Big Show.
No, I didn't. He said he hit Kane before Big Show came down. Damn it. Oh, Jesus.
Well, one was plastic and one was metal.
Well, the beginning was the plastic.
Yeah, and it looks like a little kid.
That's what I said.
You didn't say it looked like a little kid.
I just said a little plastic sign.
No, well, it's not little. This thing at least was as tall as...
For context, folks, if you do not remember WrestleMania 17, the sign itself looked like one of those... you would have at a crosswalk when little kids are getting off of school, and the crossing guard puts the little neon green kid down so you could see it. That's what the plastic side was. So back to this match, if you want to call it a match. Kane throws Big Show into the wall. He kind of just pummels Wolf into the wall. I mean, I was expecting like the wall to break or something. After that, he throws Raven through the drywall,
which I found. So they weren't supposed to go through that wall.
Oh, Jesus, really?
No, Bruce Pritchard, he didn't say which walls were fake and which were real.
Okay.
He said, but they did build fake walls and there was like an office already built, like already back there. So I'm assuming the wall Big Show and Raven went through was the real one. And then the one Kane puts them through next was the built wall.
I got you. So after he throws Raven through the drywall, Raven comes out. He throws Raven through a window, a glass plate. It hurt. I mean, you could tell it. Raven was busted open after that. I don't know if how bad he was cut from that or whatever. So then they Big Show throws Kane through a door, and then they go through the wall. And I think that's the spot you were talking about right there. So they start going out back towards the entrance ramp, and Kane gives Big Show a big boot, off of the stage into the landing area, as I'll call it. You know, you can always tell a WWE landing area because after they hit, you see all kinds of boxes kind of like spread out from underneath it. So, and then Kane does a crazy spot. This is probably my favorite spot of the whole match, was the leg drop into where Raven.
Did you say about the golf cart?
Oh, no, I forgot about the golf cart. But okay, so before we get to that spot, there was a golf cart where they're coming down in this golf cart, and Raven, I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know if he was supposed to hit him and he didn't, or he like love tapped his leg.
He definitely ran his foot over.
He ran his foot over because you can hear Raven drop some choice words as he hits him with the golf cart. And that was right before they work back out to the stage.
Yep. Big Show chucked Raven into the pit.
And then, you know, he gives Big Show a big boot. Kane gives Big Show a big boot. And then he jumps off into the pit with a giant leg drop. I mean, the camera was kind of like angled perfectly so you couldn't see him miss, but you knew he missed by where he landed.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He was just like, hey, I'm a big kid. I'm jumping into this pit.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? A ball pit.
Yeah. So, Kane gets the pin over the Big Show. That's the end of the match. I only gave this a one-arm drag.
Two.
You gave it a two? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. They could have, I don't know. I just wasn't into that match. Like, I tried.
Well, the thing with the golf cart, where like Raven and Big Show are on it, and they're driving and then they like veer off. Bruce Pritchard was saying that if that like gate wasn't there, that fence, that was like a 10-foot fall.
Oh, gee. Oh, wow. Wow.
He said, so that whole thing was just a clusterfuck.
Yeah, exactly. And that exactly my words I could say on that. So I gave that a one. You gave it a two. And then we go right into the European title match with Eddie Guerrero and Test. I didn't remember this match, but when I seen who was in it, I got excited. And
me too. I thought this was going to be a good match.
Yes. Spoiler alert if we said thought.
You mentioned who's in the match, but Perry Saturn's with Eddie Guerrero.
Yes.
What the fuck's on his head?
I don't know.
What the hell was on, like, his hat had me distracted the whole time he was wearing that thing. I'm just like, there's Perry Saturn with that damn thing on his head.
Yeah.
That looked, he looks like Cruella DeVille just went and killed some chihuahua or a poodle before the damn match and put it on his head.
Right. And like I said, it's hard to believe that neither Eddie Guerrero and Test are with us anymore.
Test looked great.
Oh my God, he looked so good. And this was probably, I can't remember, but Eddie Guerrero got a lot bigger after this match.
Yes.
He ballooned up. This was like right when he was starting to make that push into that world title picture, like right after this, I believe. You could probably fact check me on that, Moneymaker. But Test looked huge.
Yeah.
God, he looked good in this match.
Yeah, you have about 3 years before Eddie became world champion.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're not wrong in the statement made where it wasn't too long after this where he did start to get bigger and notice like size on him.
Yeah. Yeah. Test dominates early. He just takes control of this match super early, which is what you kind of think because, you know, Test was booked as a big guy. Eddie Guerrero was a smaller guy.
And Test was gassed as shit a big guy.
Yes, he was. He hit a corner snake eyes early in the match. He blocked the Hernacarana, which was pretty cool. That was a cool spot.
Yeah.
Then he hits the shoulder block off the top rope. And then after that, that's kind of like you could really tell Test was starting to get gassed.
Yeah, you could see him really start to suck wind.
Yes, yes. And then you could tell the next spot I'm going to talk about wasn't planned because even Eddie Guerrero stopped what he was doing in the match. Test's leg, literally one leg, not two, one leg got stuck in the ropes. And the ref could not get him out. And Eddie Guerrero literally stopped what he was doing to help the ref get Test out of the ropes.
Yeah, like that to me really took me out of the match for a second. Because I'm like, all right, so first off, Test should be able to, A, figure out how to get his foot out of it. With a cable, that would have been so much worse.
Oh, yeah.
Because WWE uses real ropes. Mm-hmm. Like a cable, your leg would have probably been snapped.
Or cut or something.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like if you go back and you watch it, like Test doesn't even really go to make any like effort to undo it. Mm-hmm. You know? And like Perry Saturn's on the outside, like I felt like what they could have done there was had Eddie like pull the ref away, like, and Perry Saturn go up and like work the leg, and like as he's working it, pull the ropes, Test just drop to the outside.
Right, right. So you know, after Eddie breaks character, we'll say, and gets Test out of the ropes, he works the leg. He does start working the leg. After that, so and then. You know, Test is down. He's gassed. He's taking a beating from Eddie Guerrero there for a minute. And then, you know, a big tilt-a-whirl backbreaker. Tilt-a-whirl slam.
That thing was.
I was like, oh, okay. You forget this sometimes, you know, how good some of these moves were.
Right.
And how they pull them off. And you know, and then there was the tilt-a-whirl power bomb right after that.
Yeah,
like I was like, holy crap, all right, we got some really good big spots. That got me back into the match. Those two big moves.
Yeah, I will say the tilt-a-whirl slam where he had like a sit out on it, that got me back into the match. I was like, oh, I had to watch that like two times. I was like, oh damn, that was really cool.
That was good. Then there's that right after that was a pump handle slam, like really big guy moves are
very impactful.
Yes. And then here comes Saturn and it lost me again. Like,
yeah. Like how did the ref not see him?
Right. Right.
Like that I wrote down what the fuck, like how does the ref not see Saturn?
Right. So, you know, then there's big boots for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, Test gets some big boots for everybody. Then here comes Malenko.
Looks like a 50-year-old here.
Oh, my God. He, you know. So now you not only did you have Saturn, now you got Dean.
And I felt this, like, to me, this really killed the match in a lot of ways. because, I understand what they were trying to do was get Eddie the belt and protect Test.
Right.
Problem was, every time they tried to protect Test, they could never get him over to that next level.
Right. And that was partly because Test doing. I mean, because he could, you could see him physically gassed in this match.
Yes.
Now, you were a cross country and track runner. Yeah. I was a basketball and football player. And there is times where you're gassed. And that was Edge's problem. He can never get over that. He can never
Test,
get that.
Not Edge.
Test, sorry. He could never get his stamina up to that next level.
Right.
So he could be pushed for these bigger titles. And you've seen it. And then Eddie comes in, hits him with the title. It's over. Eddie wins.
I just felt there was way too much there at the end.
Like,
I don't feel, A, they needed Malenko, and B, I don't think they really needed the title shot. I felt Eddie could have won that much cleaner on his end. It made Eddie look real weak.
Right. With the foot thing and then the end, and I was just like, oh my God. That's why I said when we got to that match, I called it the wall, and it will continue after this match. Again, I only gave this a one arm dragger.
This was a two for me.
See, I had it at a two. Actually, I had it at a three. The leg spot dropped it. And then when Malenko came down and Saturn got involved, I dropped it again.
Spot didn't drop it at all for me. I kind of looked at that as, okay, there was something you just couldn't plan for. You had to do something to get out of it. Yes, you could have done another way of getting out of it, but they did what they did. So that didn't hurt it for me. What really killed it for me was Malenko needing to get involved.
Yeah.
Saturn having to get involved, even more. And then throwing a title shot on top of it. That all really killed it for me.
Yeah. Same.
Excuse me.
And then which leads into the next match is Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit. Both these guys looked good, man.
I thought it was really cool having Paul Heyman call Chris Benoit an undefeated WCW champion.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was a really neat touch.
So the match goes back and forth at the beginning. You see two really down technical wrestlers trying to take control early with the back and forth. Angle gets a little control there early. They get outside and he throws Benoit into the ring steps. They get back in. Like, this was literally a back and forth chess match.
Yep.
This
put over how badass the two of them really are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back and you watch this too, you'll notice the crowd isn't really vocal at all.
Nope.
Until this match. This match is where the crowd really started to, you hear the crowd, you see the excitement, especially when these guys are doing the back and forth action at the beginning of the match.
Yep.
Which is something you don't really see nowadays. It's like, wrestlers nowadays don't give fans a chance to breathe. It's go, 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 go. And it's like, okay, I can only go so fast. I need a chance to breathe. And this match really took you on that roller coaster ride. And I loved this match. It was really hard for me in a way to watch this match because of the person in it and to fairly rate this match. It was very, very hard because it's like putting emotion into this match. I'm just getting this out of the way quick before we get into the match, because I just want to explain it. This match was hard to watch because of the person involved and the things that person did, meaning Chris Benoit. But I also have to look at it from the aspect of this person was a talented ass person. And I cannot ever take that away from the person with how talented they are. As a human being, he's terrible.
Right.
But as a professional wrestler, I have to give him his credit for credit.
Yeah, and this match proved it. And there was, after that, they went into a few, there was a few back and forth suplexes against each other. They got into the corner and they're just taking turns pummeling each other in the corner. One starts punching the other, they reverse it. The other person gets it. He's starting getting in on the corner. Really, really good back and forth action. Benoit gets, oh my God, in this spot right here, Benoit gets a superplex off the top rope.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Oh my goodness. I stopped it. Like I paused it and I was like, holy man, that was a good spot right there. Like I was really into that superplex.
I really enjoyed that. This was you said it early on that it was a chess match at the very beginning, but it broke down into a brawl by the end of this.
Yes.
With big impact moves left and right. It was a great, great match.
It was. And then a fun spot, which, you know, I really like this spot is, you know, I like a lot of submission finishers. So they both put each other's submission on each other.
That was cool.
You know, seeing Benoit try to get Kurt Angle in the ankle lock, and then he tries to get up. They both try to tap, and then the ref goes down. I was like, really? You didn't need this.
That's something that did definitely take away an arm drag for this match.
Yeah. Like the ref went down for no reason whatsoever. Angle's tapping, but you know, the ref doesn't see it. So here we go. We're getting some big spots back in right after they like Moneymaker said, the roller coaster. So they're trying to get each other submission on it, which is slowing it down a bit so these guys can get their breath and they can get ready for these big spots again. Because Angle gets an angle slam. But then Benoit blocks a moonsault, and then Benoit gets the headbutt off the top rope, hits the headbutt. I was like, oh, this is over. And Angle gets the roll-up win off of the headbutt off the top rope. That was, like, you were talking about inclimactic finishes.
Yep. and then that took away the ref spot and then the anticlimactic finish again. Those killed it for me, you know, and that's not enough to like it. I don't think this was a 5-star match or a five arm drag match by no means.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt it was trending towards a 4, and correct, those two spots, you know, really dropped my rating to what it was a 3.
So your rating was a 3.
3 arm drags. Yep.
I was one below you. I put it as a 2 because that finish really killed it for me. I had it as a 3.
Okay.
And then that finish, like,
see, really, like I said, I had it as a 4.
Okay.
And dropped it to a 3.
Gotcha.
And I realized in this match, like, Benoit's character, he was just an angry midget.
Yeah.
Like there was nothing and beyond that. It's just, he had short man syndrome and he got mad at people for being taller than him.
Well, he really would have been mad at me. And then the next two matches are absolute garbage. I'll tell you that right now.
This next one, I'm just saying it was shit.
This is going to be like, there's going to be hardly any notes.
The female ultimate warrior
versus the
librarian.
Yes.
An angry librarian.
We had the women's title match, which was Ivory versus China. Ivory was part of the...
you mean the angry librarian?
Whatever you say, was part of the right to censor at this time. In China, this was after...
Playboy.
Yes, so she was looking more, trying to look more feminine, feminine, whatever the hell word I'm trying to say right now.
Feminine.
Yeah, there you go. So, I don't know.
She was the female ultimate warrior. I will gladly say that.
Well, I like China before. Terrible. I like China before the Playboy. After the Playboy, I mean, she looks stupid. quick. This is going to be so quick, all right? So, Ivory hits China with the belt, whatever. She pounds China for a couple minutes. China takes over, hits a powerbomb, press slams Ivory, match is over. That's it.
Zero arm drags.
You are correct, sir. That is what it got. Why? This is WrestleMania.
it was a coming out moment for China to be hurt entering the women's division. I don't know. It wasn't for me.
All right. Next match, which...
Was the one. Was it.
This was Shane O'Mac versus Vincent K. McMahon in a street fight. Now, I want to ask you before you hit your note. Is this the first time... I remember growing up from the 2000s, it seemed like Vince and Shane had to be a part of WrestleMania no matter what, and they shouldn't be. Was this one of the first times where they interjected themselves into matches at WrestleMania?
I want to say Shane definitely did it the year before.
Okay.
And then, I want to say this, Shane definitely did it the year before, and Vince, this might have been Vince's first, match, but you got to think, the whole time Austin was the champ, Vince was a part of, the main event. In some way, so, and it's like he needed to be because he was the antagonist, he was, the bad guy. This was where I was saying they should have done something with WCW because
instead of this.
Yes. And you can still have this match. I don't know if you want to go through the beat by beat on this one or just kind of an overview of it. But I really felt like with this match, you could have hit a lot of the same beats you did. I would have definitely had someone from WCW would have had, Booker T or someone come down from the booth and attack Vince McMahon and set up the coast to coast, which this was Shane's first coast to coast ever that he pulled off. But I just felt like, you get the huge, one of the bigger pops when Linda stood up out of her chair. That crowd just went bananas.
Yes. And I'll give the quick context behind this match. I didn't take too many notes about this because I didn't want to watch it. I was going to fast forward through this match because I remember the whole thing and whatever went down. So Shane buys WCW out from under Vince McMahon's nose. That's the quote-unquote thing that happened. Vince McMahon is out there doing what he's doing with my girl Trish.
So the backstory to this was Vince had been putting Linda McMahon on, antidepressants basically to make her not very active in life, and he was having an affair with Trish Stratus in front of his wife, and Stephanie McMahon was okay with it for some reason. And Shane was trying to stand up for his mom and, you know, be the good son and fight his dad. So that whole storyline is great, you know. And if the purchase of WCW happened the very next night, like the Monday night after WrestleMania, and then you have Shane do that after this match, 100%, 1,000 times better.
Right, because he just beats his dad. Okay, Trish turns on Vince,
yep,
because Linda comes up out of the chair.
Yep,
you know what I mean. So, you know, I gave this another zero. This is back to back zeros for me.
This got two arm drags for me, just because, like I said. So, I have two points of thought on this. The aspect of, if you don't have WCW at all in this, you take WCW out of the context of this at all, just like put the blinders on and pretend, you know, you took a week off from wrestling and you didn't know about WCW being purchased by WWE, this match is fine. It gets two arm drags. If you put in the aspect of, oh, WCW was purchased, yeah, it drops down to probably a one, maybe a two, because you're like, oh, so much should have been done with WCW in this match. Like I said, and I agree, so much more should have been done with WCW. But in the same aspect, like, it's 6 days beforehand. And if you go back and you listen to the episode of Bruce Pritchard talking about the behind the scenes of this, they even say, all right, what are we going to do with these guys? And Vince is like, nothing. We're not doing anything with them. Just forget we have them. What? Like,
that was a great impersonation, Moneymaker.
But it's like, so you have a chance to do something here with them, and you don't do it.
Yeah. I mean, and let's face it. I mean, WCW had some good talent.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. This to me was the start of the downfall of WWE, because it wasn't long after this that I got out. Like, I stopped watching for a very long period of time because it was just so long. So then we're going to come up to, after that match, like I said, I gave it another zero. I was not invested in this match. I'm still to this day hate when Vince and Shane are involved in matches at WrestleMania, which we are going to get one again at this WrestleMania. Wait and see. You're hearing it now. Shane will be facing Braun Strowman. I'm calling it.
This episode may.
Oh yeah, might not. I don't know. What WrestleMania? We still got what? Maybe we'll see. This is episode 5.
So we will. We will time stamp this as March 5th.
Okay.
We have recorded this on March 5th, 2021. So if it goes up before, cool, you're solid. If it goes up after, but you have got your time stamp on.
Okay, I got my time stamp. All right. So the next match, oh my God. TLC 2, baby. Here we go.
I'm just going to do this before we let me
tell everybody in the world who was in this match. So you have, of course, Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys and the Dudley Boys for the tag team titles, TLC number 2.
All right, ready?
Go.
I have no notes.
Oh!
And this is 5 arm drags.
Oh my God, he put no notes and he gave it a 5 arm drag match. Oh my goodness. Moneymaker, what am I going to do with you? What am I going to do with you? It was everything TLC 1 was.
Yes. Okay. No, this match was amazing.
It was not as good as TLC 1.
You're out of your damn mind.
No, I am not. You're because they put all this extra garbage in this match that was not needed. All
right, here we go. This is what I was waiting for.
Yes,
tonight.
This
here
is we what go. We were waiting for. We were waiting for this spot. All right, so this match starts off fire. I 100% agree with you. This match would have been rated so much higher for me if they would have left it alone and left these three teams fight each other, because it was amazing.
Sure. Yep.
It was amazing.
Now, we talk about backstory on things, too.
I know.
So, you know where I'm going to make this argument.
I know you are. I know you are.
Get there.
But my argument is going to be when we get there, and we're going to get there. All right, so the Hardy Boys beat up the Edge. The Dudleys go after Christian. Edge and Christian both take the teams outside off of ladders. Like, this was amazing.
Yes.
It was amazing. And then things kind of, you know, we got power bombs off ladders. We got leg drops off ladders. I mean, we got people getting low blowed all over the place. Like, this was a fun match to watch until... Here we go. Rhino comes running down the ring.
Okay, so in the backstory, Rhino has been the third man in Edge and Christian. So, you know, he's been a part of this whole feud the whole time with the Dudleys and Matt and Jeff and Lita.
Oh,
so
I do apologize. Spike Dudley came down first, not Rhino.
But see, that... So my whole point is this match, the build to it had been 3-on-3-on-3. The only reason Rhino got put into it was because Kurt Angle was off with Chris Benoit. So they needed someone to, you know, be the muscle for Edge and Christian.
Okay. So I just
like
said
Spike Dudley is the muscle for the Dudleys.
Never mind. Little G, where are you at? I'll show you Spike Dudley. But anyway.
He ain't doing an acid drop on someone.
But anyway, you know, Spike comes down, not needed. Rhino comes down, not needed. Lita comes down, not needed.
You're out of your mind. They were all needed for the story that it was.
This is where the match... like turns, because it became about Rhino and not about the teams that were fighting. Everything, all the big spots that happen now are involved with Rhino. This is my very own personal Spike Dudley. Okay. That's all I needed. Thanks, bud. And like, this is where I was like, God, this match was so good until the spots, you know, and then Edge and Christian get the win because Rhino goes up underneath Christian's legs and pushes him up the ladder so they can get the titles. And like I said, this match was so good until all this extra unneeded stuff was added. You say it was storyline moneymaker, but I'm going to pull your card right now and take you back a few shows that have not aired yet. You will hear this at a later time.
They would have aired by now.
You are so critical of people running down and getting involved in the match.
Oh, no, I bitched about it earlier with Dean Malenko.
Exactly. But then here we go. We are having
an exception to the rule.
No, we are having a great TLC match.
Exception to the rule.
With three of the greatest high-flying, crazy teams, big move ladder table matches that's out there. You do not need Spike, Lita, and Rhino in this match at all. It killed it for me.
You did need it.
I disagree.
You're
you gave it a 5. This got a 2-arm drag for the big guy. It was at a 4 till all this nonsense. You heard me. It was at a 4 before all the nonsense.
You need to stop drinking the sauce right now, and you got to drive in about 20 minutes. You better stop drinking. You're drunk.
This is water, baby. You're drunk.
You're drunk. I don't drink alcohol, sir.
All right, so after that, we get into, oh boy.
This was a 0.
Yes.
It was fun. Don't get me wrong.
I understand why they did it. Okay, this was a gimmick battle royal, and basically they should have called it the old timers battle royal.
Oh, you needed this because this, the crowd, like, and I mentioned it earlier, you can only go run.
Exactly.
Breathing, and this match was for people to breathe.
This was go get your popcorn, go get your soda.
Go take a pee,
go get your cotton candy because you're not going to want to miss the next two matches. That's right. What this was. Yep. And it was fine. It was fine. I enjoyed it because of everybody that was in it.
Yep.
You know, getting to see the Bushwhackers that most people hate, but, you know, I was all.
I love the Bushwhackers.
Yep. You can't see this, but I'm doing their moves. Sorry, guys. You know.
Licking a kid's face.
Exactly. Licking a kid's face. You got the Iron Sheik, Earthquake, the Goon, Doink the Clown, Kamala, Repo Man, Moneymaker's favorite, Jim Corny.
My man. He should have won it. If this was a shoot, Corny would have won that shit. He would have hit every motherfucker with the racket. He would have tossed them all out. You know the only reason the Iron Sheik won this? Because, let's be honest. How are you going to throw a 70-year-old man over the top rope?
Right.
He's probably, let's be honest, he's probably in his 60s at the time.
And he looked bad.
And yeah, so there was no way he was going over the top rope. And if you looked at him, it was Sheiky Baby.
Yeah.
Hitting people.
The Goobly Gobbler was down there. You know what I mean? Like, it Tugboat. And I'll tell you who really looked good. I'll tell you, my man, Hillbilly Jim.
Yeah, no, he looked great.
Hillbilly Jim looked amazing. Iron Sheik got the win. So, you know, it was what it was. I also gave it a 0 arm drag, but that's okay. And, you know, it was just fun. It was meant to be fun. And that's what it was. Like Moneymaker said, this was a time for everybody to take a breath, gain back everything, get ready for these next two matches. Because these next two matches, got the hiccups there a little bit. These next two matches were absolutely carried the show.
Yes.
Carried the show. So we have Triple H versus The Undertaker. Now, spoiler alert. This is 2001, so Undertaker doesn't lose yet.
Undertaker wins.
We'll just talk about the spots because we know Undertaker wins the match. This is way before Brock Lesnar makes the whole world cry when he beats Undertaker. So we start outside the ring before, you know, they start brawling outside the ring before the bell even.
Yeah.
Like the storyline these two had and the hatred was amazing. And I really thought that this match.
There was definitely times where you thought Triple H was going to do it.
Yes. You thought, yes, there was a lot of times because they really started talking about the streak and they said it a bunch in this match.
Yep.
Like, and they talked about it. So, I mean, you know, fast forward to, never mind. We'll ignore that.
We'll get there eventually.
You had a big knee from Trips. Got a big old knee up there to the big man. Huge back body drop was really cool. That was a good spot. Of course, Taker got to do old school, but you know, Trips reversed it. And then they pushed the, you know, pushes the ref. Now this is, we'll get to it at the end of the match. You know, he pushes the ref. The ref pushes him back. And, you know, Trips goes and gets the sledgehammer. The ref takes it off him.
See, I was never a big fan of like. So if someone pushes the ref, like in this instance, I was not a big fan of like
the ref getting involved.
Right. But I also don't like the ref looking weak.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like a real touchy area. Like, okay. So instead of him pushing him back, yeah. Him stopping the sledgehammer, not as opposed to that, but him pushing Triple H. Yeah.
So Now, this is where I got a little irritated, and it will tie into the next match, and I'll tell you why when we get there. The ref gets knocked out.
Yep.
Okay? Taker beats up the ref, I guess, to make sure he stays knocked out. I don't know. I don't know, because you wanted to take the match outside.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big chair shot from Undertaker to Trips. He choke slams Triple H off of the camera bay. I thought that was a really spot.
That was a really sick spot.
I'm not saying that this match was bad because of it, but when I get to this, you'll see. There was then he elbow drops him off of the freaking camera bay. You know, they're a low blow, dong. You know, we love that. The big boot, tombstone. Yeah, all this outside of the ring while, quote unquote, the ref is still knocked out.
Yeah.
So, you know, they get back into the ring. The ref's still groggy. I mean, after they've been outside of the ring fighting for 15 minutes. I don't know. I don't know how someone's knocked out that long.
That's actually a great point. Yeah, like
it's not like he's taking a punch from Tyson, but
right, exactly.
So Taker goes to give the last ride powerbomb to Trips, but Trips manages to pick up the sledgehammer and
drills him in the head,
but he doesn't get the three count. Taker, whatever, slides off, whatever, goes last ride. That's it. 1, 2, 3. As much as I did enjoy this match. I did. I gave it a 3 arm drag before we move on to my next discussion that I'm going to say.
No, this got a 3 out of me as well.
Okay.
The ref being down for 15 minutes really killed it for me.
Yeah.
You know, the ref was something that hurt this for me. Yes. I thought it was a lot of great action. Mm-hmm. The spots they did with the camera arms, I thought was really cool. It was a good match.
It was. It was a really good match. Told a great story. Now, what made me mad was the instant they announced the next and final main event match was a no DQ match.
Yes.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Yep.
You just had the ref knocked out for 15 minutes in the last match, and then all of a sudden you want to make the main event a no DQ. Just make the last match a no DQ. Like it wasn't needed. Like,
the main event did not need to be no DQ.
No.
Yeah, that to me was that hurt it. I felt when we get there, the ending of this match, I understand what they were trying to get over with this.
Yes.
But where they were at was not the place to do it.
I agree. So because our next match,
I was still like confused and like heartbroken at the end of this, so like I was when I first saw it.
Yep, because I mean we know where we're going here, so we know what's up. So the next match was the WWF Championship, The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin for the championship. Announced no DQ, as I said, after we just spent 15 minutes of outside the ring action with Triple H and Undertaker, which should have been no DQ.
Right.
So we get to this match started fast. Like you couldn't blink. And as we said before, this is why you have the gimmick battle royal, because Triple H and Undertaker killed it.
Yep.
And now you got Austin and The Rock coming to the ring, and this is fast paced match. They both hit a finisher early. Sorry. They both go for their finishers early, not to be able to hit it. And now we're going outside of the ring. Austin throws The Rock out of the ring. They fight into the crowd. You know, fight back down. Yeah, they're fighting all over the place here to start this match. Like I said, I'm talking fast right now. they started fast. They were fighting faster than I'm talking right now.
Right.
And this got me into the main event instantly.
Yeah, the crowd was definitely in this. It definitely got you excited. The very fast pushing the pace mm-hmm. definitely got you like, oh man, this is a great match. This is really good. I'm really enjoying this. And with Austin being the hometown guy, you could really tell the crowd was behind this and really excited for it.
Yep. And then we got we have a big superplex off the top rope spot. Another amazing spot I thought was really good. And then they take the padding off the turnbuckle. So here we go again. But it is a no DQ match.
Which it shouldn't have been, but.
Yeah. Whatever. Austin goes over the top rope. Granted, the turnbuckle padding coming off really never came into play. Austin goes over the top rope. Austin grabs the ring bell. He hits the Rock with the ring bell. Dong. and then this part, I laughed and I had to watch it a couple times just because it was funny. So Rock lays on the announce table. Didn't get thrown into it. Didn't get pushed into it. Literally just kind of like goes back and lays on it and it collapses.
What can I say, man? You know, it just... look at The Rock nowadays.
Oh, he
was made of steel.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was carbon fiber there. Mm-hmm. It just, he was that titanium, super light. Just like, be able to touch it.
Boop, there it goes. Table broke. Sorry. It was kind of funny. I mean, and you could tell everybody was like, oh, that wasn't the spot. But then we get back into the ring after he's just kind of like laying on the broken table for Rock gets a big comeback. He's starting his, you know how the Rock does, throwing his hands.
That big wind up, throws the hand, comes back through, throws the hand, comes back through.
Whips the head back as he's doing the Rocky things. So he sends Austin, now that, you know, we said that he opened up the turnbuckle earlier, this is where it came into play. He sends Austin into the open turnbuckle, then hits him with the bell. Austin's open. He's open.
Yeah.
And this looked like Austin cut too deep because he was open. And when I watch a match and, there's blood in the match, I like to see the spot where they cut and I put it in slow motion to see where they tuck it. Like, and you could see it, Austin's down and he kind of like looks back, you know what I mean? He looks back and then he starts tucking something into the tape in his wrist. Like that's what I look for when stuff like that's, that was cool. So they get Austin's open now. So they go, he drops the Rock into the barricade. They come back in, he slingshots him into the ring post. And then he hits Rock with the monitor. Now the Rock is busted open. So,
you know, and it's Austin, you know, you go back and you listen to like him describe his match with Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, I never really bladed before that. So he had Bret do it. And then you go fast forward through time, like Austin really started cutting his head off. And this was one where he really did it. And The Rock, he never really was a bleeder. Uh-huh. And even like here, he didn't bleed that much.
Nope. It stopped pretty quick. I mean, it was bleeding, but it wasn't like Austin and
Austin cut his head off.
Yeah. So, Rock hits the sharpshooter on, Austin. He gets to the ropes. They break, which, no DQ match. Why are you breaking on a rope break?
But
whatever, logic. whatever, Whatever. Yeah, logic, whatever. So then Austin hits the sharpshooter on The Rock. Everybody knows.
Yeah,
guy, big guy's Bret Hart, Mark. So I know, whatever. So when I see sharpshooters, you know, I'm like, yeah, let's go. You know, after the, now, as we say about peaks and valleys and matches, this was so fast paced. This is where these guys are like, okay, we need to catch our breath. Let's slow it down. Let's catch our breath. And that's exactly the spot that we were in here, because we get a sleeper. We then get a sleeper hold. All right. So we're slowing the match down. We just had two submissions. We just had a sleeper hold, which you get the, we get the arm dropping for a two count, and then the hand comes up. So right after that, guess what? These guys took, what do you want to say, like maybe 2 minutes for that little sharpshooter, sleeper? Because, boom, we're 100 miles an hour again. Because here comes The Rock. He hits a stunner on Austin, gets a two count. And then here comes big old grapefruits, Vinnie Mac. Here comes Vince. Rocking down like he does with his legs going, his arms going, his big old grapefruits. He's coming down to the ring. So if anybody remembers this match, they'll remember why he's coming down to the ring. So The Rock gets the people's elbow, and he goes for the pin, but Vince pulls him off. He's not letting The Rock beat Austin.
And that really, that, you know, when I first, I remembered back when I first saw this match initially, that surprises you, because the history with The Rock and Vince McMahon, now granted, you know, The Rock hadn't been the Vince guy for a little while now, but it was still a surprise. You're like, oh, they have history here, and Vince is turning on him? What?
Uh-huh. Yep. So Austin hits The Rock bottom. He only gets a two count on The Rock. Yes, he used The Rock bottom against The Rock. And the ref gets knocked out again.
Yep.
Here we go.
And that's an issue when you have the same spot in back-to-back matches. Back-to-back matches. Something like I complained about in our ECW episode.
Yep.
Where they had back-to-back ref bumps and then the same ref take over to screw someone. Like,
Yeah,
so the back-to-back ref bumps here definitely hurt this.
Hurt it. So the ref gets knocked out. Vince hits The Rock with a chair. Only a two count. Then we get a rock bottom again. Vince distracts the ref. So the ref's up now. He's not knocked out for 15 minutes like the last match. The ref gets up. Vince is distracting him. The Rock now beats up the ref. I don't understand what is going on.
No, it's too much there.
Yeah,
like interaction with the ref that did not need to happen.
Yeah, so Stunner only gets a two count. So Austin hits him with a chair, hits him with the chair again, only gets the two count, and then he literally starts pummeling The Rock with this chair, like, literally beating the living crap out of The Rock with this chair.
Yeah.
He never pinned him.
No, like that should have been where you end it.
Like there was no pin, but they gave the title to Austin. Was the champ. Austin had the title. Like, whatever. The match just ended.
Yeah.
With Stone Cold literally beating the crap out of The Rock with a chair, and that's how it ended. Like, viciously beating this man. I don't know. I'm sure that chair is in a museum or hanging up on somebody's wall somewhere, because that chair did a lot of damage. And that was it. That was the end of the match. Now, I enjoyed this match. I really did.
I did too. I really thought this should have been a five at one point. And then I was like, oh, this should really be a four. And I settled on a three.
Same. And it was a four, until all the shenanigans with the ref happened again.
I had it at a 5 for a little while.
Did you? Okay. I can see why, because this match started off amazing.
And like when they brought it down where they had the 2-minute like rest period, I was still sitting at a 5 there. And then, like you said, when the ref, all the shit with the ref happened is when I was like,
and I threw my hands up.
And then, Vince and Austin joining together, like the crowd's going bananas.
Nice.
Austin with the belt, but I'm still sitting there like, why the fuck did Austin just join with Vince? What the fuck? Why is any of this happening? None of this makes sense right now.
It was insane.
Yeah.
But I can't say I didn't enjoy it, because I did. But like I said, it all tied back in. Like I might have still been pissed about the last match not being a no DQ, and then all of a sudden they made this match a no DQ when you could have did it the last match. Like whatever. Because I had it a 4, all the ref stuff happened. I was like, oh my God, not again. So I dropped it to a 3. I really enjoyed this match. And honestly, the match of the night for me, TLC. I know what yours is. Yours is the TLC match. And mine was Triple H and Undertaker. I thought that match was, despite the whole no DQ thing, but like I said, that really didn't come in until the next match started and they made it a no DQ. So, yeah. But I really enjoyed that match. I thought it was amazing.
Overall, what did you give the,
overall, I gave this a 3 arm dragger. Just because fact number one, this was too many matches that were not needed.
Yes.
And that kind of like dropped it. I was bouncing back and forth. I was like, okay, do I want to give it a 2? Do I want to give it 3, 4? I was like, ooh, I don't know if I want to give it a 4 because all these matches were, like, I hit that long. It took me a couple days to watch this because I couldn't get past those middle set of matches before we got to, like, TLC. And you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't get past them. So what about you? What did you give it?
3 arm drag. Yeah. I was pretty happy with it. I got through it in one sitting. And I just, when I do a review, it's like, all right, I'm just going to do this. But I enjoyed it. Like, there were certain matches, like the Test Eddie match was probably my least favorite of this. Outside of the China match, because
you
take China and the gimmick battle royal, you take those all out. That was probably my least favorite match.
Okay. Well, mine was Shane and Vince. You should have seen that coming.
Yep. Yeah, I know.
So, folks, that is episode 5 of the Armchair Arm Draggers, ACAD. Moneymaker, anything you want to say to the fans before we hit the end of the show here?
Yeah, go check out our Twitter account, ACAD for life. Go check out the YouTube channel, Melee Media. Get an audio version of this on there. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment anywhere you do listen to this app.
That's correct. And also, folks, we do have Armchair Arm Draggers is live on our own Facebook page. Go on over, give us a like. We also have, like he said, our Twitter page. So give us a like, give us a share, drop some comments, let us know how you think the show is going. By the time you hear this, hopefully you have listened to 4 other ones. But that's going to end this show. My man, my PIC, the Moneymaker.
Good night, guys.
And now it is time for the end. And I got 4 words for you. Get that out of here.